our text today in James, which says our Father is the giver of all good gifts, right? And so can we have a posture of openness to receive, you know, like when I walk into a situation, am I ready to say, okay, God, I know that not only do I need to be a blessing, but I want to be blessed and I want to experience that from you. And so I think that's a pretty critical posture. And I think for me, maybe some of my struggle is that I probably like a little bit too much being someone who provides and serves other people and not so much being the recipient. And so in that mutuality, we have to make sure that we are both willing to be blessed and willing to bless in that cyclical nature. I think a lot of times when I'm teaching and preaching, I'm telling people, you've been blessed so that you can be a blessing. But it comes just right back at me too. Make sure that you are open to receiving that gift from God. And I think that's a key thing. I want to share my screen with you for a minute and talk about this. Something we've been talking about for a bit. In fact, it's been a lot on my mind because I feel like so much of worship is making sure God gets credit for what he should get credit for, right? So much of that is proper attribution. And I know that sometimes when we have our Christmas times or birthday gifts and especially with all of our kids, presents will just get tossed open, tossed open, tossed open. And there's a protocol. And Nella is so great. She's come to some of our birthday parties and she's like, I've never been to a birthday party like this. I'm not sure that there is a real structure there, but one thing we try to do is like read the card first, right? Read the card or read the tag and like, who is this from? And then you turn toward them and say, what do you say? You say, thank you for giving this to me. And you face the person that's giving you the gift. And I sense that that's a word for us today, because it's so easy to be harried and ragged and fatigued and anxious and not turn with that gratitude, which we know physiologically, psychologically, in our brain chemistry, anxiety and gratitude don't mix. So you have centers in your brain that are anxious, and you can't be anxious and grateful at the same time. You got to pick. So I think this is a moment to just say, okay, I'm gonna pick, right? And I want to properly attribute what was rightful credit to God for the things that He's done. Of course, you can't credit Him with deceit. You can't credit Him with temptation. You can't credit Him with those things. That's just not the way it goes. We see that in that the passage just before this, where it says, each person, when he's tempted and lured and enticed by his own desire, that desire gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. So that idea, the grandchild of disordered desire is death, and sin is her mother. And there's this birth process that goes on. That desire, these disordered desires go in that direction. But there's also another birth that takes place here. So it says, don't be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So an interesting mix there. You've got two kinds of birth. You've got desire bringing to birth, but it bears sin and death. And the death is the grandchild there. But God brings to birth redemption and life. And just like that sin process of more death leads to more desire and more sin and more disorder and more death and more disordered desires and more sin and more death, so does redemption and life. And redemption and life. So we become those kind of good givers who represent a good giver who begins to bless because we are grateful from him from whom all blessings flow, right? And I think that what's really beautiful to me is that it's only going to keep coming. It says here, of his will, he brought us forth, right, that birth language, by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So of all the created beings, even the host of heaven, which is this interesting note in here about the father of lights, the photon, or the heavenly lights, there's this sense that we are called now to be the first fruits of a new kind of creation, a new kind of destiny. And there's new life and new birth and a new cosmos and a new order and new lights in the sky. Which, you guys, some of you know this, at the end of Daniel, end of the book of Daniel, there is a passage that is really intriguing, especially as you think about, okay, so God's created these heavenly beings, the sons of God that sparkle and stars, and call these divine beings, right? Not necessarily that star out there, the first star, you know, all that kind of stuff, but that they're representing of those things. Well, it says here that we are going to shine like those stars. At the end of Daniel, it says there's going to be a time, and it's going to be trouble, and it's going to be difficult. Your people will be delivered, and everyone whose name is found written in the book. This is Daniel 12. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. So this sense of brilliance, you know, that we're supposed to, the Father of Lights is now got a new kind of first fruits, a new start of this new cosmos, of this new order of things. And he tells, you know, we're told, don't you know that you will judge angels? Don't you know that there's going to be this turnaround, so that the life and redemption and hope and purpose is only going to continue, and I hope it snowballs, but who knows when that's actually going to happen and the new creation comes and we actually get to participate with him. But that's a sense of destiny that I can get on board with in a tough time where it's dark, you know. And there's so much in I think it was in Philippians, right, where we're supposed to shine like stars in the darkest night. We're supposed to be that city on a hill that shines, and God's going to do this new order, and we're the first fruits of it. So I just love that the gifts just keep on coming, that we shouldn't look to him to say, wow, he's tempting me, right? But he is the giver of all good gifts. And this word of truth, which we know is the gospel, that's the word of truth that remakes and reshapes and changes our destiny. That's something we can help people understand. You know, the invisible people, the people who only know how to live in anxiety. Those people can begin to see that God is doing a new thing, and we, his children, are the first fruits of that. And first fruits, right? That's the best of the harvest, but that shows that a harvest is coming. And I think that's the beautiful thing about this Father of Lights,